if you've got your Bibles, because it's just amazing the timing of all this, because the few things I want to share is really just from my own reflections on the trip and putting it into a biblical framework. And it revolves around Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28, and it's just a brief introduction to the series that we're going into over the next few weeks, which I've called Christianity with a Human Face. And as we go through that series, the title and the reason behind it will become more and more obvious, but the Bible reading is Genesis 1, verse 26. And I've shared this passage with you on multiple occasions, but it is so relevant to what we are sharing this morning. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." And God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over every living thing that moves on the earth." The first photo I want to show you is a photo of the building. This is the training center that was built, and we saw back about 5 or 6 months ago that it was still a fair way off from completion. That was what we were greeted with. It's a beautiful building. And one of the interesting stories around it is the foundations that they have built, because originally when Ross was working with the Nepalese pastors, the idea behind the building was that it would go to 3 stories. But Ross took us to the roof, and there's a bunch of wires and things sticking up because they laid a foundation that will enable them to build 2 more stories. They're thinking ahead of the future and what they might need. And I'm showing you that photo so that you can see, because we have had a part as one of the churches that has supported this effort getting off the ground. And many of you have given very generously to this. But I share the photo also not just as an encouragement to see what has happened, but also to pick up on that idea of the foundation. They've built a foundation that's going to stand them in good stead in the future. And having just read to you Genesis chapter 1, verses 26 to 28, the question I want to ask is, what is the foundation of your life? And we could say Jesus, and that's all true, and that Jesus died for my sin and I'm a Christian. But you may remember a couple of months ago that I picked up on this concept of the organising principle of life. And I shared with you that for myself, whilst that term is not, the organising principle is not something I've come up with, it accurately describes for me what is a foundational part of my life, and that is that every human being is created in the image of God. I am created in the image of God. You are created in the image of God. We've just seen some girls who've been rescued, all created in the image of God. And this becomes, for me, an organising principle. So I want to talk about, just for a very few minutes, not very long at all, and putting it into the context of this trip to Nepal, I want to talk about the human face of God, because that's what it means to be in the image of God. And what I hope you capture over the next several weeks is to understand the incredible uniqueness of what it means to be a human being. That's what I really want you to capture. For too long in the church, we have denied our humanness. For too long in the church, we have downplayed the human side of our lives by saying, "Oh, that's human and that's of the flesh and everything should be spiritual." And when we do that, we are actually in contradiction to the Bible. Because God created you and me and everybody in this planet gloriously human, and we actually represent, if you like, the human face of God. Now, that is not saying that we are God, but it is saying that we are like God, and we just read that. And so just a couple of principles to keep in mind. With this incredible gift of humanness, this gift that God has given us, he's created us in his image, we have a responsibility toward God. And that responsibility is very simply that we are expected, that the whole purpose behind our creation was that we might reflect the character of God to the world. Do you realize that? What an incredible privilege that is. That when God created human beings, he created us, because it says here, he created us to have dominion, to represent him, to exercise and show the character of God to this beautiful world that he created. Now we know that sadly, because of sin and because of the early chapters of Genesis, that that reflection of God's image has been severely diminished, and that we do not always reflect the character of God. We do not always reflect God's intentions for this world. And yet it's written all over those early chapters of Genesis. And so in the image of God, we are created to be, as we reflect God's image, we are created to be in relationship with him. We have a responsibility toward him. We are creative. We have emotions. All of these aspects of character and the characteristics of God are expressed through us as his image. So first thing I want you to remember is that to be human is a glorious thing. It is an absolutely glorious thing. Even in our diminished state because of sin, it is still a glorious thing. There is still the humanity, there is still the image of God in us. Now we know that the purpose of God in Jesus is to restore that image. And so every person who comes to faith in Jesus embarks on that lifelong path of becoming more like Jesus and having that restoration of our humanity. But it also brings with us a responsibility toward each other. We have a responsibility towards God as his image, but we have a responsibility toward each other. I just want to read two passages very briefly. Genesis 9 verse 6. This comes after the flood. And God makes this statement. It's in the context of a person who takes another human being's life. God says, whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. Why? Why is God so strong about this? Why is God so against murder and the shedding of innocent blood? Here's the writer. For in the image of God he made man. If you want to paraphrase it, he made men and women, because men and women are fully in the image of God. And then over in James chapter 3, very interesting statement that James makes in the middle of his little discourse on the tongue and how we can hurt people with our language. He says this, with our tongues we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. What is he saying? He's saying that that very tongue, which can be used for the highest of all things to praise God, in the next breath, curses a human being. So one minute you're in church and you're praising God, you're outside church and you're raining down curses on the head of someone who has upset you. And James is pointing out it's hypocrisy, but what is the organizing principle? Why do we not commit murder? Because human beings are created in the image of God. Why do we not murder people with our tongues? Look at what James says, because we have been made in the likeness of God. That's the organizing principle. Do you hear what it's saying? What it's saying is that if you do those things, this is how much God treasures our humanness. This is how much God loves us, is to strike out at another human being, is to strike out at God himself. Now let the weight of that fall on you this morning. This next very brief point, I've called it the organizing principle practically applied. What does it mean? And this is what's been going through my mind as a result of the trip in Nepal. So I've come up with this statement. Just based on those very brief scriptures that I've shared with you, I want you to take this on board. To strike out violently against another human being, to strike out violently against another human being, whether it be by murder, slander, gossip, or trafficking, or you fill in the blanks, whatever it is to strike out violently against God himself. Did you catch that? That is how much, based on scripture, based on those few passages I read to you, that is how much God values and loves human beings. Because we are in his image, and God takes it so seriously that when we lash out violently against each other, we lash out against God. Why? Because we're in his image. Folks, your humanity, my humanity, our humanity matters. Don't ever fall into this trap of saying, I'm only human. I'm only human. To be human is a glorious thing. Let me just put it into the context with what I saw in Nepal. One day we were walking through Nepal Ganj back to where we were staying, and both Karen and Trish have already mentioned the poverty that was there, and so I'm not going to go into that, but I looked at one place where people were living, and it was a hovel in what they were living in. And all I could think of was, this is not how God intends it to be. It is not how God intended it to be. God did not intend human beings to live like that. So that's the first thought I want to leave you with. We have a responsibility, those of us who know Jesus, we have a responsibility to be able to, whether it's to speak or to give or to pray into those situations, that in somehow is going to lift up people, whether that be overseas or in our own country. Let me show you. Mention was made, this is a picture I've put up, mention was made of cows. That was the cow jam in the road, and that wasn't just one. We're driving through a city, and the bus just has to stop. Why? Because cows are a sacred animal in Hinduism. And the rule is that if you knock a cow over and kill it, go straight to the police station, because you're in trouble. Folks, here is the thing. Why I put that picture up, because I'm talking about the image of God, why I put that picture up is because in that culture, a cow has higher value than a human being. Can you see the bondage that people are kept in because of lies? That somehow an animal is elevated above human beings and considered to be greater. If the organising principle of your life is that we are created in the image of God, this doesn't fit. Next photo. This is a picture of the girls that, as a whole team, we took them all out to dinner. I have never seen such young, small girls eat so much in my life. I was staggered, and when the food, I could not believe it. And we loved every minute of it, of course. It was such a blessing to be able to bless them. But I want to share with you, because Karen and Trish have both shared about our visit to their home, the safe home, on the Friday night. This is why I'm talking about the image of God. So this is what I wrote. 12 girls were present this night, including one girl who had been rescued only a week ago. Karen and Trish explained her situation and about the hotel staff handing her on, so I won't repeat all of that. The guy was jailed and the young lady brought to the safe house for counselling and training. I believe she is only 15 years old. After dinner, Karen and I spent time with the girls in their room. We kept it light. How are you? Do you like it here, etc. They liked my Snoopy shirt, which had Be Happy written on it, which I told them to be, and they laughed, such beautiful smiles. It was too much for me. I turned my face and cried. It was an image of God moment for me. Here before me were 12 of God's beautiful daughters, some who have accepted Jesus, fully the image of God and reflecting his glorious creation. You can see it, can't you? See it on their faces. Reflecting his glorious creation. So much potential locked up inside them. This was the question I asked myself. How can one human being be so despicable and cruel to another human being? How can you treat another person as being nothing more than a commodity? These were the questions running through my mind. It also highlighted to me how much at risk these girls are. Poor education, naive to the evil of the world, and looking for love. Looking into the faces of these young girls, it breaks my heart to think of how they have been duped, but thankful they have been rescued from what could have been. This night has been the highlight of the trip so far. I left pointing at Snoopy and telling them to be happy, which brought a chorus of delightful smiles and laughter. Folks, it's the image of God. And in this, the next photo, I put this up, I just think that's a wonderful photo. Karen embracing, I'm pretty sure that's the young girl who wants to be a doctor. But that was such a marvellous night and such a blessing. I close with this, just some quotes. In one of the safe houses that we went to, these were quotes that were put up by some of the young people. The strongest thing we have isn't our fists, it's our words. It's what we do, so fight. That was by a young childhood victim of sex trafficking who was informing for raids. And down the bottom, life is a gift of our Creator and it should never be for sale. Here's the next thing that was up on that. Stop human trafficking, all written by these young people. I'm not for sale. Powerful statement. And this final one. Child slavery is a crime against humanity. Image of God. Humanity itself is at stake here. Let it not be said, and I was silent when they needed me. I want you to embrace what it means this morning to be human and created in the image of God, not just for yourselves, but for other people. That's my heart for you this morning. Embrace it in others. I want to say thank you as your pastor for the many gifts and prayers that you have made available to our church for this ministry and for this work. It shows your commitment to people and to treating people with dignity and with respect. But I want to leave you with this question. Can you say it from your heart this morning? Thank you, God, for creating me in your image. I hope that you can step into this over the next few weeks, because that's my goal as we work through. And I close with this morning. My prayer is that you will be able to say this, not just for yourself, but for others, because, folks, life is good and we should affirm it. There's bad stuff in the world, yes, but life is a beautiful gift. And it's a good gift. So I hope that you can say this morning or in the next few weeks, because I am human, made in the image of God, I affirm that life is good. God bless you. We have a very short clip that rounds off.
We're going to close in prayer. Just before we do that, we are deeply thankful to
the church and to the church leadership for your support of making this happen last month.
In particular, though, I do want to say a particular thank you to two men who had a great heart to see this happen and made it happen. Kevin Daniels, who is our chairman of council. Thank you, Kevin, because I know you had a real heart for this. And the other is Rob Bevan, who was one of the elders and also has a lot to do with missions. All our leaders were supportive of this, but these two particular guys just wanted to say thank you. After the service, I'm going to present you with a gift from the PAL, just a small way to say thank you for your part in that. Let's pray, shall we? Our loving Father, you made us in your image. Every person who walks this planet, regardless of their nationality, regardless of the faith they have been born into, whatever it is, Father, humanity is created in your image, and it's a glorious thing. We know, Father, by experience, though, that there are many, many places where your image is not reflected well. Lord, we confess that as your people, as those of you who know Jesus, we have not always reflected your image well. But we want to do better. Lord, it's not about trying harder, it's just about yielding more to the work of your Spirit in our heart and in our life. And we want to make a difference in our world. Father, thank you for the marvelous work that is taking place through Every Daughter Matters and through what's happening in Nepal. We pray that more and more young girls and indeed young boys will be rescued from a life of slavery. But Lord, we think also of other parts of the world. We think of what's happening in Israel at this time. Lord, it grieves our heart. And we think of the innocent people, whether they be Israeli or Palestinian people who have been caught up in this situation. People that you love and have created. Father, we pray that you will minister your grace into that situation and bring peace to that area. And that many people will be rescued and brought into saving faith in Jesus. And we think about it in our own land, Lord, where, yes, at this time our nation is feeling division somewhat deeply. Father, would you enable us as your people to be able to speak healing and grace into that situation and to represent what it means to be created in the image of God and to have Jesus indwelling us and restoring us and making us whole. Send us out with your blessing today, we pray, and into this week. In Jesus' name, amen.